Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. With me broadcasting from his home studio tonight is my boy, Jesse. Jesse, you say hello to everybody.
Check, my check. How you doing? How y'all doing?
and gracing us with his presence on this momentous day is station owner and manager, Dan the Man. Dan, what's up, buddy?
Dan the Man.
What's up?
Now, is Dan in disguise today, or do we get the real Dan?
No, Dan's not in disguise today. He doesn't have the skull mask on and everything. Not trying to recreate our logo right now. So, which is good.
I mean, either way, it's ugly. So. I mean, either way, it's frightening.
Bro, as long as you got a lady by your side, you good. As one of my big bros told me in college, we supposed to be ugly. That's why we pick women. I feel bad.
Hey, so Dan.
Y'all.
I have got a favorite ask of you.
That's frightening.
Since I have neglected to upload the artist of the week's music this week, I'm going to need to forward that shit to you. So you can go ahead and do that real quick while you're sitting there not doing nothing.
Wow.
Because
wow.
I thought I had done it, but apparently I had not. And I've just now realized that. So
I thought I did it, but I didn't. It was something,
but yeah,
it was nothing.
It happens. It happens a lot with me. It really, really does. So
don't feel bad.
I'm gonna thank you for the lovely date that we went on, even though we went Dutch.
Yeah, we went on a dump run, and then we went to Wendy's and got us some food, and came back at 8. It was nice, and then we cuddled. It was sweet.
Did you? No.
You fell asleep on my bed while I went and took a shower. This is like every date night with the wife. All right, we go Dutch. I take a shower. She falls asleep.
It was you, Jay Boogie. It wasn't Dan. It was all you, Jay.
Well, and he says bed, but he meant couch, and that's because he's in trouble all the time, and that's why the couch is his bed.
Hey, as long as you don't look, hey, some of the best sleeping I've ever done in my life has been on the couch, so.
Look, I mean, in all fairness, I'm home by myself this week, and it's just easier to, you know, get to the front door, somebody's trying to get in, or even the back door if I'm downstairs. Just saying.
I mean, that's true. You're already right there.
I'd like to be hitting them to the house. I'm going to be like, surprise! Guess what? I want to run! You're trapped in here with me! Ah! Like, I want to be that guy. So if you ever break into my house, just understand that, yeah, you're trapped in here with me.
pretty much. Look, I sleep with a 9, you know, right up by my head when I'm downstairs. So, good luck getting into my place.
not going to tell you what I sleep with in my bed. I'm just saying you're trapped in me.
that's all
I'll admit to. you're really trapped with me. Was that said again? Oh.
Does it take batteries?
No, but if it did, it would be glorious.
So there's 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
All right. Busting back Sunshine and Say Less.
Okay.
So if you can just forward those to yourself, and if you can do that for me. I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Now, usually I'm more on the ball about this, and I don't have to ask Dan to do favors like this for me. But it is what it is. And it's been one of those days, man, one of those weeks, really. I've had a really off week. So I had to go down to just outside of Athens, Georgia, and go pick up some puppies from my cousin who had some pit bull puppies. And I had some friends up here who wanted one. So I went to work, 4 to midnight, worked my schedule, got off, showered, hung out with my girl for a little bit, and then drove my ass down there. It was 4 hours one way. Spent like an hour and a half with my cousin talking to her, bullshitting, and then turned around and drove my fat ass back up home here to Tennessee. And then, had to take a little nap and then went out with my girl to her daughter's house for dinner. So, and then a little bar hopping afterwards. So that was fun. So
you had an adventure.
Yeah. We don't usually bar. We're not usually a bar hopping type, but we did some bar hopping last night. We went from, our favorite spot to our second favorite spot to a third spot that I'd only been to one time before. So
you're a better man than me. Cause you're a better. COVID's gonna keep me on restrictions, so you're a better man than me. I ain't even tell you the last time I'm at the bar.
If you're ingesting alcohol, it's cleansing, as it's going in. You know what I'm saying? Because it's alcohol. So like rubbing alcohol for outside boo boos.
The alcohol kill it.
right. So rubbing alcohol is for outside boo boos and stuff, and then whiskey and liquor and stuff is for inside boo boos and stuff. So yeah. That's how that works.
You know what?
There's some scientific proof somewhere about that, but that's how it works.
Hey, I'm going to go with you. I'm not going to be a dream killer. I'm just going to say, hey. J Boogie, hey, soul, so that's how it goes. That's what I'm going to say.
J Boogie. That's funny. I like that he calls me J Boogie. See what happens to people like you? Give you cool little nicknames and stuff like that.
I got to be a nickname. I can't be like, me and Jeremy. Like, I can't be. Oh, that's not gonna. That's not gonna work. We're not 12, bro. Like,
say it again. Say my full name again, there.
Me and Jeremy. That's how you say where I'm from, Jeremy.
It sounds weird coming out of your mouth. I'll be honest with you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know why, but it's just
Jeremy.
It's like a grown man. Another grown man's full name, like I have to give him a spanking or something. Jeremy Jefferson George, come here. Like, no, that's the word.
You're gonna spank me. How long is your arm? Jesus Christ.
Hey, whatever it is, somebody's coming with a. That's what it's like when you say this whole government. That's what it feels like, bro. Like I'm the oldest uncle. You're in trouble. Like, yes, I'm about to abuse you right now. Like, yes. Because they just fly here, my whole government name. I turn around, and that's where I got. It wasn't me. I ain't put. I wasn't there. Mm-mm. Not on. Nope. I was not present. I don't care how many people. I was not present. That's my doppelganger. Nuh-uh. Unless it was me. You got me saying this was me. Wasn't me. That's right.
It wasn't me.
The person that can say Shaggy. I'm there is me.
It's Mr. Shaggy over here. Wasn't me. Wasn't me.
Nope. Nope. Only person, I told you, the person that could say it was me is me. I wasn't there. So, sorry. But see, anybody that grew up in my hood, they'll tell you the same thing. We was always out of town. I don't know what happened. I was out of town that whatever that was, I was out of town.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have Actually, a really awesome show tonight. We have an artist coming on. His name's Roulette Delgado. He's actually an award-winning artist. Let's see. Video of the year for his first out-of-the-box themed video, Android. Artist of the Year, 2016. Courage Award, 2018. For facing adversity as an openly gay artist. And most recently, Portland's Rapper of the Year Award, 2019. And he's also won a Jammin' 107.5's Take the Stage contest to earn himself the only local act, 2019's Boo Bomb 6, where he opened for the likes of Ice Cube, E-40, Zap Band, Genuine, Baby Bash. Isn't that awesome?
Impressive.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, that's more than most people do in a lifetime, and he's done it in the last, 8 years. So, kudos to him for that. I'm absolutely excited about it, man. Let's see. We have a – what time did you tell him to call in there, Mr. Jesse?
10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, so I'm going to imagine that that is him on the line here. I forgot to ask him what number he's calling from, but I'm going to assume that this is him because I'm not expecting any other phone calls at this time. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to get him on here. Is this Roulette Delgado?
This is. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
Man, I can't call it, man. I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Yeah, man. It's another beautiful day in paradise.
Can't complain whatsoever. Couldn't even know if I wanted to.
Nobody listened to
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's what social media is for. Everybody wants to complain. Have you opened up Facebook lately? We got a place to complain about nothing.
That's true.
That myth that nobody cares was gone.
Roulette, man. So we were just I was just kind of going over the description of the tonight's show and stuff like that, and everything, and all the awards that you've gotten over the last, was it at about 8 years or so, 8-9 years here?
Yeah.
And man, that's absolutely incredible, man. I kudos to you for the awards that you've won and everything. That's very, very impressive, man.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Dan, you all, you leaving us, Mr. Dan?
Yeah, you're good to go. You're all set up.
Okay.
Come up.
I'll let you
do your show.
I appreciate you doing that for me. Time got away from me this week, so I do thank
you. Nah, you're good, brother. You're good. I got you. That's what I'm here for.
So I got a question I want to start this with because I've been interested to know this since. We got this gentleman on the schedule.
Okay.
Your name. How did you acquire such an awesome handle as an artist?
All right. It's a long story, but I'll make it super short. Basically, I used to go by Young Payne when I was really, really young. I think I was probably like 12, 13, going by Young Payne and then a little Savage. But just to rewind a bit, I ran away from home when I was 12 and ended up in foster care. And I had bounced around to like 7 foster homes, and one of them homes was like a group home for boys. And when I got there, it was kind of overran by the kids, and like the person running the home basically didn't really care about, I guess, the well-being of the kids, more so about the money. So
Okay. Basically
when I get there and they're like, oh, who are you, like sizing me up and stuff. And I'm just a young kid. So, I go in here kind of scared because I don't got my family and stuff. So basically, it's a group of boys and they're like, kept living here, we got to initiate you. And I'm just like, initiate me for what? Like, this is a group home. It don't even make sense. But being the kid I am, I was like worried that I wouldn't be accepted or, somebody might beat me up or jump me or something. So basically one of them had a pistol. And, I mean, later I found out that it didn't even work. It was just like a like there was a revolver in it and all that, but it just didn't work at all. It was like broken or something. So it was like a really old gun. And they made us play Russian roulette, but they, unbeknownst to me, like obviously it didn't work, but in my mind, I'm thinking this is real and there's this real situation, but they're all in on this joke. So we do it, we go like around, and once we're done, they're basically like, oh, no, you're welcome now, this and that. Super corny and childish and just like, but when I found out, I was just like, okay, that was dumb, but it just stuck with me that I played Russian roulette. Like I saw it in movies and stuff, but never experienced it in real life. So later down the line, I'm like, yo, I really still got a name that's going to stick. And I was like, yo, Russian roulette. And then I was like, nah, just roulette. That'd be dope. So then when I was 15, I signed to my first label here in Portland. It was Weside Records with Big City D, my big bro. It was like a mob style family. He basically was like, I want to add something to your name that, you know, really connects you to this team. And we're going to add Delgado. And I was just like, I don't know, man. I don't really like that. I like roulette, young roulette. And he was like, nah, I'm telling you, man, it's going to stick. And it literally stuck to this day, bro. Like, so if you notice on a lot of my music, when I come in on my first verse, I scream, Delgado. Like, that's my tag. Like, and it's just, it really stuck with me. So that's how I got roulette Delgado.
That's fire. That's an outstanding, coming from someone with himself. I'm a fan of those because I know there's got to be a story behind something so one of a kind, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Appreciate you sharing that with us because I got to know. It's got to be something.
Absolutely. I wouldn't trade the name for nothing, man.
As you shouldn't because the one thing I can say going forward is I know when I hear the name, I know exactly who is being spoken of. There is no question. Oh yeah, I know exactly what artist you're talking about. Now, I've met a lot of forgettable artists. I won't forget that.
Right.
I'm just being 100. I've met a lot of, and if we could talk to me, you being an artist yourself, you've met a lot of forgettable rappers in your time in this game. Just people don't like to admit it. Like,
Well, I appreciate that, man.
Hey, that's an outstanding brand choice, bro.
That has got to be one of the craziest stories I've ever heard of how somebody got their name.
Yeah, and that's in the beginning, man. My story in general is insane.
So I ask this a lot of my artists, because because there's always kind of a unique story behind it. Is there a moment or an event or something that happened, you know, in your life that that made you say, hey, you know what, I'm gonna write music. I'm gonna be a hip hop artist, and this is what I'm gonna do with my life, and you know, nobody's gonna stop me.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, basically, you know, my mom, she was a queen, right? Like she was just a Nubian black queen, really into the culture. You know what I mean? Rap, R&B, listened to a lot of E-40. That's how she put me on to the Click, you know, put me on to Master P and a lot of 90s R&B. And so that's all I listened to, right? That's all I heard because, you know, I'd be in the car with my mom. She out hitting licks because she was, you know, one of Portland's biggest female drug dealers, right? So, and we just in the car all the time, rolling around, hitting licks, and listening to all this great music, and I would just soak it up, and I would learn all these songs, and they were just, you know, just super great, but it wasn't until my stepdad, big time, he gave me this cassette, right? And I had my Walkman, he gave me a cassette, and it was this rapper named Xavier, and, you know, my stepdad's Muslim, so it's a Muslim rapper. And what's crazy is to this day, I cannot find a CD, a vinyl, nothing online. It's crazy. But he has this song, and it was called, I think, Mama, I'm Living, or I'm Living for the Love of You, something like that. But it was a remake from the Isley Brothers, For the Love of You, right? So the song basically talked about how he was in foster care and how his mom was out there selling dope, using drugs, and, you know, running around collecting cans, was homeless at one point, and he got separated from her and went to foster care and all, I mean, all kinds of stuff, right? And so, mind you, I hadn't even experienced none of this stuff before, but I just felt the song so much, and it just I connected with the song so much that I just learned it word for word, and I loved the hook. I loved, you know, the cadence and everything. And so at this point, I'm 10 years old, and my mom, she was very heavily into the Narcotics Anonymous scene here in Portland, so she would throw fashion shows / talent shows for the community through Narcotics Anonymous, through, like, the Miracle Club and all that. And I would see her do it all the time, and, you know, fashion shows and stuff. And then one day I said, I want to perform. And she's like, what are you gonna do? Like, don't play, because, you know, this is for real. And I'm like, Mom, I really want to perform. I got this song, yada, yada. So, you know, I'm 10 years old. She put me on stage. I got on my stepdad's silk shirt and a pair of his gaiters or something, I think, because I was a big boy back then. But, you know what I'm saying? So I'm fly, right? I'm on stage. And they turn the song on. I perform the song. And it's so heartfelt and deep. And people are watching me perform the song like it's my song. I had the whole room, like, in tears. And then when I was done, I got a standing ovation. And literally in that moment, I was like, oh, this is what I'm doing. This is it. Like, that feeling was unlike anything I ever experienced in my life.
Yeah. That is a drug within itself. Whatever. What that is. I don't know if anybody can. Whatever that feeling is, wow. I mean, wow. So,
man, if somebody could break it down and put it into a needle, I would be addicted, bro. I can't even front. Like, it was a feeling that I literally just could. I was like, whoa. This is, and then just afterwards, everybody, oh, that was so good, and, you know, good job, and you're going to do this, you're going to do that. I'm thinking, like, you know, this ain't even my song, but okay. But what's crazy is after that happened, 2 years later, I'm 12 years old, I run away from home because my mom continued to sell drugs, and I started feeling like, you know, I was unloved and stuff, and there was just a lot going on. And I experienced everything in that song, being in foster care, 7 foster homes, 4 different high schools, being picked on, being bullied, you know, homelessness, like, all of it. And it was like an epiphany, bro, like, or like a, like, I foresaw all this stuff. And, you know, it just is so crazy, man, like, how I related to it before I even went through all that. So it was almost meant to be.
Yeah, we've had him on. We've had you on for, like, I don't know, 12, 13 minutes now, and I've heard 2 stories. And I already want to read, like, an autobiography. Like, I'm going to need you to write a book. And because, wow, look, seriously, Jesse, look, two questions been asked, and you get 2 incredible stories, you know, how he got his name, you know, and what started, you know, this life for him. I mean, those are some fucking stories, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For real. Like, I'm fully invested. I want to hear the rest of it. So I'm going to need you to go ahead and, you know, write a book and ship that out to me so I can read about it.
Right.
I definitely want to write a book. That's a goal of mine, and as well as a movie, man, because I just know that my life story will change lives, because I've been through a lot, man. Like, the average person would have been broken, you know?
You know, and some of the strongest people in the world are built out of stories that are just like that. And that is the God's honest truth. And, you know, you're just living proof, man.
Man, nice. I appreciate that, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, before we even get real thick and deep into this, man, I want to thank you for your time today, man, because this is going to be an awesome show. I can already tell.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Hey, that's what we do.
That's what it's all about.
We are the place to be if you want to promote yourself, you know, as I'm shamefully promoting you. Don't mind.
Right.
Don't mind me. I digress. I just work here. You know what I'm saying? But
for sure.
But let me ask you this. Since we're talking about all the things that have made you you, right, is your music. How would you describe it?
My music?
Yeah. What is it? Like what is it? If you could say it wasn't music, say it was like socks or shoes, what is it? What is it to the world? What is your music?
My music to the world is, man, I mean, there's so many words to describe it, but if I could just
use them
one
all.
Word to describe my
use
music.
All. Use them all. Use them all. Go ahead.
Yeah, we got all the time in the world.
Man, it's exciting. It's emotional. It's breathtaking. It's fun. It's adventures. Like, it's, I mean, there's, I take you on so many different rides with my songs. Like, for example, my last album, Superhuman 2, The Evolution, was an R&B album with a hip-hop flair, hip-hop and rap flair. And this project just takes you on this crazy ride, this journey of from, like, kind of how I came into the game, how I started, and kind of how I felt like a very pivotal point in my life that we'll get into really changed the course of my music. And a lot of people really came down on me, but I mean, I had to literally come out swinging, and I got this song called Put Me in the Ring, which is like I think is the second song on the album. And it's just about how I'm like basically up in this fight, like I'm fighting Mike Tyson or somebody, bro. And I'm going round for round for round, and they can't knock me down. But if they do, I get back up and I just keep swinging and fighting, because that's how I felt. And I literally had to go back to the drawing board and rebrand myself. And then I go into party music. I go into situations where I was with somebody who was with somebody and got my heart broken, or a song about that, or like talking about my mother and her life. And so it's just a mixture of things, man. It's just, I really give you my story with all my music. Every song I have, you know, it's about self-experience, things that I've been through. So, but it's not always just sad either. It's good times, it's fun, and this is giving you this look, like depth, this very deep look into my life and where I'm from and things that I've seen and experienced. And it's not just about, oh, he's from, you know, because Northeast Portland was probably like the quote-unquote hood in Portland where I'm from, the North and Northeast. So that's where I grew up at. And so there's plenty of stories of things that went on, gang violence, drugs, things like that. And so, you know, I talk about all of it, and I talk about it in a way where people can just relate to it and not only be get my story in an emotional level, but also have fun with it as well. So my music is universal, man. It's universal. It's a universal story for the ages.
Okay.
That's really deep, man. Like, that's right. Really, no, that's a good answer to that question.
Can we applaud this man?
Absolutely.
Because everyone I've ever asked that question to gave me I got stuck. You are the first person to actually answer the question without getting stuck. I applaud that. Because for me, I try to ask the questions that I would like someone to ask me if they were interviewing me. So I'm glad that you had a complete thought of, because I just feel bad when I ask a question thinking I'm helping and the artist gets stuck because it's like, oh, I just put you on the spot. I'm so sorry. There's always that.
Right. Music is my life, man, and it's just, I've been doing it for so long, you know, for the better part of 20 years, bro, and I've been at it for so long and been through so many changes in my life and in music that, you know, I know exactly what I'm giving the people, and I'm giving them me, you know what I mean? So, I mean, for me, that's an easy question.
I can dig it. So, since we're on your music and all the different topics that your music speaks of, what's the creative process of that? How do you bring that from the ethos and make it reality?
So, I mean, sometimes it's the beat first. Like, I'll get a beat, and it's just talking to me, speaking to me. and I just start writing, right? It's just the first thing that comes to mind. But a lot of my writing literally happens in my bed first thing in the morning because of my dreams. Like, I literally, sometimes I can't remember what I dream about. Sometimes I can. But the days that I can't remember, I just assume that whatever I'm writing came from that. And because I'd be so inspired. In the morning, I throw my headphones in. I'm in the bed just going ham. You know what I'm saying? Just tapping away at my notepad on my phone, man. And personally, man, it just feels like, it just feels like it's just flowing out, right? And so usually the beat will talk to me and I write like that. Or if I just have a topic that I want to talk about, I kind of go from there. And I, you know, it used to be, you know, when people's attention spans were a little longer and there were a lot less impatient, I would do three verses and I would, you know, give you the start of the story, kind of the meat of the story and the climax of the third verse. But nowadays it's more so about kind of mixing it all together, but giving it a flow to where it all makes sense. So it's not crazy long, not like three long verses. I'm just trying to, you know, just kind of get right to the point, but still give a good intro and amazing outro and something in the middle where people can relate to. But you got to have that good catchy hook. You know what I mean? You got to have, I guess it's also, you know, it depends on the person, right? Because, you know, obviously people are like, I mean, hey, all you got to have is a catchy hook and a dope beat and you in the game. But I'm from an era where you have to really rap. Like, you have to really spit bars and be saying something. So that's never changed for me. Even though my music now, I'm keeping up with the times, I'm still going to bar out my verses and then give you catchy hooks because I sing too. So I'm going to give you catchy hooks. I'm going to give you content. I'm going to give you depth. It's going to be levels, but I'm still going to keep it, you know, short and sweet.
Dope. That's what I appreciated your music about your music the most. I heard, I think the first song I heard of yours was Less. And I was
which one?
Was Less.
Say Less, say yeah.
Less. Oh, Say Less. Oh, okay.
And
okay.
I was like, and I mean, if you know anything about me, I'm a bars guy. Bars before anything.
Right.
And so we got a writer on our hands here. Okay. I can finally somebody's lines I can break down.
Right.
And I appreciate that. But go ahead.
I was just gonna say, man, I listened to the songs that he sent, you know, for the show tonight and everything like that. And I immediately, after I got done listening to them all, I sent a voice message to Cordell and I was like, dude, this guy's music is fucking fire, bro. Like, this guy is fucking legit, man. Like, I swear to God, it's on there. I can play it if you want. Your music is fucking awesome, man. It really, really is.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I wanted to send versatility because I wanted to send, like, some of my newest stuff, like Bustin' Back is my newest single. And then Sunshine is from my R&B album, which is a complete R&B song. So I wanted to kind of give just two different aspects so people could, and you guys could really see, like, okay, this is where he's coming from. It's on two different people almost.
Yeah, that is a very beautiful love song, by the way. Sunshine.
Thank you.
Like, I really dig that. And you know, hell, you know, we're talking about it and everything. I think, Jesse, what do you think? We'll go ahead and we'll take a little break here. We'll play one of the songs. We'll come back. We can talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, people want to hear the song, man. Play the song.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, whoa. Easy. Bro, why are you always jumping with shit, man? You calm down.
That's what I do here. That's me. I'm like the roller coaster guy. I'm the up, down. I'm the comic relief. I'm the serious. All of that. And then you get to just be you, the guy with glasses. You know what I mean? The guy with glasses. You can be the guy.
All right. So what are you? So
like
ladies
I said,
gentlemen,
me. I just work here.
We're gonna play a song. We're gonna come back, and we will continue to the interview with Roulette Delgado. I do have a question. Let me ask my question. That way, when the song is over, we can just talk about the song. So, and if you're not comfortable talking about this, you don't have to. You know, because I'm
open book, bro.
I'm in no way trying to be offensive or anything like that. But I, you know, I'm not from Portland, so I don't know what the Portland life is like growing up in it. So, and I had spoke earlier about the Courage Award that you received for facing adversity
right.
as an openly gay artist. What
right?
What is it that? If you can, you know, what kind of things did you have to go through, you know, because like I said, I don't know nothing about Portland. I don't know what the, you know, I mean, you can drive an hour and a half and be in a completely different, you know, kind of lifestyle of how people are raised and stuff like that. So what happened, what are some things maybe that you had to go through, you know, in Portland, you know, and, you know, as far as, you know, the adversities that you overcame, you know, if you don't mind talking about it, you know,
Yeah, so I'm literally an open book, bro, and I have no issues sharing anything, right? So I'll put it like this. Portland has been dubbed several times Little Cali, right? And that's because a lot of times, you know, not to put too much out there, but there's been a lot of, like, drugs ran from Cali to Portland and back and forth, like, lots of plugs connect, like, it's serious like that, right? Or at least back in when I was growing up.
That's no secret, bro. You don't have to hide it.
So,
like, I'm from California. You got to hide it. That ain't no secret.
Got you. Okay. So.
Okay.
My bad, bro.
Oh, you good. Go ahead. I'm with you. So go. I got your back.
Okay.
So go for it. Go ahead and tell the story.
My mom was a huge part of that because my uncle put her on, right? So. Portland's like Little Cali. We're like 2-3% African American here, so everybody knows everybody in the black community, right? And so there's a lot of black people here, but in the grand scheme, there's not because we still are outnumbered by other races. But saying that, I say this. Basically, it was super hood here back in the 90s, right? Lots of gang violence between the Crips and the Bloods. I mean, the black culture here was crazy. I mean, it's like you said, you can be in Portland, drive an hour one way and be in a whole different scenario. But North Portland, Northeast Portland, the Columbia Villa where I grew up, real black, real hood, right? So I grew up in a time where, you know, being gay or being lesbian, all of that was frowned upon, right? So I knew when I was a kid, I was attracted to the same sex, but I didn't know what that meant. I just knew that something was there. So because I always heard in my household the F word, or I heard that, you know, it was against, you know, religion to be gay or bi or whatever, I just never said anything. And it kind of scared me. So I just made a point to never come out, never say anything. Basically, when I did come out, I came out on national television on divorce court with my ex-girlfriend. Because of that, it sparked so much controversy because nobody really knew, right? All they knew was this, I'm on the show, oh, look at him, yada yada, look at Roulette. And then when I came out, it was like a complete shocker. And so for me, being black, being a rapper, obviously rap being very hyper-masculine, people automatically assume like, oh, no, you can't be a rapper and be gay. First of all, because a lot of my earlier music is real hood. Like, my first album, The Antidote, is super hood, but it all came from my experiences, things that I saw, went through, selling dope as a teenager between classes, like really getting to the money when I didn't have nothing because that's what my mom taught me. So that was who I was, but I had to evolve into this new person. And so when I did come out, a lot of people that I had worked with who, you know, at one time was calling me one of the hottest rappers in Portland, changed their tune. They stopped messing with me. They stopped doing music with me. You know, that title kind of went away all of a sudden. It was like, oh, well, you know, we don't want to work with the gay dude. We don't want to be perceived as gay, so this and that. To me, it was corny, but at the same time, I can't knock nobody for feeling how they feel, right? Like, I can't be mad at nobody, but all I did know is that I never lost any real friends because my real friends were still there, riding with me, supporting me through all of the adversity, supported me through all the negativity, all the backlash, and all the slander. So, unfortunately, family, you know, family turned their backs on me. People in the hip-hop realm turned their backs on me, and I kind of had to, you know, I went through a depression, and I hid under a rock for, like, 4 months. And, you know, I was doing real bad, and borderline suicidal, you know what I mean? And my mom, you know, RIP to my queen, she was just like, you know what? You've been doing music for so long, and you've been holding it down. Like, now you have a broader audience and people that need you. What about those kids in foster care who don't know if they're going to get their next meal the next day? What about them kids out there who are being sexually molested, you know, something you've been through, who, you know, don't know if there's a way out of that? What about the people who are out there struggling with their sexuality and their identity who really need somebody like you? And I was like, damn, like, you know what? That is big facts. And I had to go back to the drawing board. And it didn't take a whole lot to rebrand, because it was something that was always inside of me, with my fashion, with the way I talk, the way I walk, how I hold my head up. Like, it was always there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like a really, you know, flamboyant feminine dude, but, like, I have a flair for fashion, and I just, that's just who I am. So when you see me, I'm very loud without being a loud person. Like, I have a presence when I walk in the room, you know? So that's just how it's been now. But I went through all these things to come back swinging, man. And, you know, just I turned it around and turned it into success, really.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow. No, that's awesome, man. That really is. And whoever it was that said that, you know, there's people out there that need you, there is, man. That is absolutely 100% facts. I mean, there's so many people out there that need someone to look up to, someone, you know, who has been through that and can show them that there's a life, you know, after.
Exactly. Exactly.
So that is,
and, you know,
that is
people,
truly incredible.
They counted me out, man. They counted me out for good. And all I did after that was just break records. I ended up being one of the first local LGBTQ people of color to perform at the Motor Center, which is the biggest arena in my city where the Blazers play, you know, on stage in front of 20,000 people, opening for E-40, Ice Cube, Ginuwine, Baby Bass, and the Zap Band all in one concert. And that was before COVID happened. So now Blue Bomb is back, and it's tonight in Portland, actually, with, like, the Game and E-40 and Fat Joe. I was the last person to do that show, you know, which is one of the biggest concerts in Portland, you know what I mean? And I got up there on stage, and I did my rendition of Biggie Smalls' Juicy, where I'm just going in on homophobics and people who were just against me, and I had my rainbow flag around my neck like a cape, like a superhero, running around the stage, and it was insane, bro. Like, the whole crowd just went crazy, and it was, like, a historic moment, you know what I mean? And so I've just done some things that, I don't know, man, it just shuts down the haters, and no matter what, I just keep winning.
Oh yeah, man. That's absolutely the attitude to have in this life, man. You can't let nobody hold you back. You just got to do you and keep on going. That's
yep,
awesome,
absolutely.
Man. What an amazing story. Hell yeah. All right.
Thank
so
you.
Yeah, man. All right, man. I appreciate you being open about that and, you know, letting us talk about that a little bit, you know, because that's always a, you know, that's a part of you, and that's a part of your story. And, you know, it's
right.
It's good for everybody to hear, you know, all of it, you know, don't hold nothing back, man. That's really awesome. So
absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to put on, Roulette Delgado song. We're going to put on Bussin' Back. See, I've got Bussin' Back and I've got Sunshine. I've got Say Less, but I think something happened when the station owner Dan here was uploading it, because I only see
go
a minute.
Out of the bus, so I go just throw it.
Oh yeah, well, down shit. He's not. Hell, he's downstairs. He ain't listening to me no way. I'll say whatever the fuck I want to say about him.
It's a new thing. Okay, so,
well,
so
he's the one that uploaded it.
Hey,
I didn't do it.
No, listen. Going forward, that's the thing. Dan did it. Whatever goes down.
Dan did it. Every time something fucks up, Dan did it. That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah
something. I've only got a minute and 9 seconds of Say Less. So something obviously glitched out, or something happened
least,
while
you
he was
should at least
to
play that much. You should at least play that.
Oh,
that's at least
one
verse.
Yeah, we can definitely play it, but we're gonna start with Bussin' Back. That's the first one I heard. That's the first one I got sent to me. So we're gonna give it to the people how I got it. So this is Roulette Delgado, everybody, and this is Bussin' Back. Please stay with us. We're gonna be right back. We're gonna continue talking with Roulette Delgado. And hearing his amazing, amazing story and the things that he's went through in his life and overcome and the things that have made him who he is today. So please continue to listen. We're going to be right back, ladies and gentlemen, in about 3.5 minutes. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses, with me broadcasting from his home studio is my boy, Jesse. Jesse, say hello to everybody.
Jesse lives in the building. Hi.
So we have been talking to Roulette Delgado. Roulette, you still there with us, brother?
I'm here.
Awesome, man. So tell us about Bussin' Back, man. What was the mindset going through that, man? Let's hear it, man. Tell us the story on it.
Man, so I have been through several different teams, right? Different like labels here and there, and different families, I should say, that I thought would be like a forever thing. Unfortunately, it don't always work out like that. So certain things happen, and you kind of just move on. You learn lessons. That coupled with a lot of the things that people still try to say to this day about me, I don't really respond too much online, and social media when it comes to like people saying stuff behind my back and all that. So I just respond to my music, and I wanted to make a song. Basically, I had did my R&B album, and I had been doing a lot of singing R&B shows and stuff like that. And this was like my return back to rap. Like, if you know, you're ever in Portland, or if, you know, anybody in Portland is listening right now, and if you cross the Morrison Bridge going into downtown Portland, there's a really, really big billboard of my face and a promo for Bustin' Back. And on the top of it, it says, "The King is Back." And it says, "Roulette Delgado makes his long-awaited return to rap with his new single, Bustin' Back." And basically, it's me coming back and saying, I ain't lost it. I'm still here. I'm still on my rap shit. I'm still killing this. Like, you know, I'm not going nowhere. And basically, it was like a rebuttal to just all the BS going on. And it just came out to be this complete bop, you know. And so we decided to make a video here in Portland. I got my dancers. And I don't know if y'all seen the video yet, but it's crazy. The video is nuts.
Yeah, I have not seen the video.
To be honest, everything that seems to do is crazy. I've known about you as an artist for about 2 years now. So,
oh wow, okay.
Yes. So because I'm an artist myself, you know, so I'm a
right
a fan of like I told you, I'm a fan of lyricists. Just my
right.
cup of tea when it comes to music. So I don't care where I get from, because not to talk less about you, more about me, that's what helps me as a creative person, creative people. And so I'm thirsty
right.
for anybody that got something creative to give. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
But yeah, so the video is crazy. But I also think all of your styling is pretty crazy too. So, and I mean that in a good way. So I'll say
right,
like
right.
this as a well, let's go this route. Let's go this route. Because you are a colorful individual. Who are your
yeah.
fashion icons?
Fashion icons? Oh,
yeah.
Man. Top of the totem pole, Missy Elliott, all top.
Oh, that's undeniable.
Yeah.
That's not inarguable.
Yeah, bro. I love Missy Elliott, man. I've always loved her videos, her aesthetic, her style, her clothes are crazy. And just, if there's anybody that I could, I mean, as far as style and fashion goes, that I if somebody asked me who would I want to relate to the most, it'd be Missy, because it's just so different. Like, and my style is just so different the way I dress. I cut my own clothes
right.
up, patch it here, sew something there. Like, it's just very, very different aesthetic. And so Missy would be one for sure. I'd have to say Biggie. Just repping
okay.
for the big dudes. He always stays super sharp and fly.
Right.
But he was also one of my musical influences as well. So
okay.
I would definitely have to say those two.
So out of two, who would be the feature?
Well, I didn't hear that part with that last part.
I said, out of the two, out of Missy and Biggie, and you only have one feature. Which one you taking?
One feature?
Yeah, you have one feature, but it's either Missy or Biggie. Which one is the feature? Which one you gonna put on the album? Yeah,
man.
I'm getting to a quarter. That's hard one. That's
man,
a lot.
You know,
asking a lot because that would be a hard question for me. That's why I'm asking it.
Man, you know what's crazy is, man, because I'm such a lyricist. And because, like, it's really hard, but for me, I would need that full package from Missy and Timberland, because I need that Timbo production, like, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? And, like, I would just
yeah.
make, I would probably make something crazy, crazy, stupid, dope with Missy and Timberland. Like, I want to say Biggie so bad, but, you know what I mean? Old me, old Delgado, old The Antidote, 2009 Delgado, definitely Biggie, because we would be on some hood shit. You know what I'm saying? And, you know what I mean? We would be on some mad hood shit, bro, but me today, definitely Missy. Definitely Missy Elliott.
I do not disagree whatsoever. I think Missy does not get the roses she deserves. There's argument Missy should be it. I don't understand why she's not. I'm just saying this has nothing to do with the show. This is just a speculative disclaimer opinion. Missy, she should be in somebody's top five somewhere. That's all I'm saying.
But, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, man. I don't know, man. You have a lot of the same taste I do, and I supremely appreciate that. That is a fine, outstanding taste for quality.
I'm looking at you, Jesse. The way you said that, you look like you needed like a wine glass in your hand,
yeah,
and you're just stirring up some wine and. Ah, you're.
Yes, I am that guy. If
your taste
of
music
Cordell,
is so exquisite. Mm.
Right. Oh, but if you ask Cordell, I'll tell you, I'm the guy. I on that level, I'm elitist. Like I said, I love creatives. Like, and because I don't understand how hard it is for creatives and what it truly means to be one. Like,
right.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of people that say it, but it's like, I don't want to be the guy to tell you that that's not what you're doing. But see, it's their own, I guess. You know?
Yep.
Well, I do want to say real quick that I have updated the studio, the sound clips in the studio here, and we have the full version of Say Less in the studio now. So.
Hey,
I fixed Dan's fuck up. Damn it, Dan.
Damn it, Dan.
That's second verse. The knowledge.
So, what? I got some. Let's say this. What is the vision? Where do you see your career going?
Oh man, you know what, man? I see. Let me say this. In the next 5 years, 5 to 10 years, I see myself and my team touring the world, spreading not only my message but my team's message. We're a very versatile team, right? I got my little sis Glam Doll, who's an amazing rapper, singer, songwriter, beautiful, sexy, talented. You know what I mean? I got my bro Kanitis, who's like urban alternative music. He's a white dude who sings R&B. Also alternative music. And then I got my bro Just Wild, who's like a rap / like grunge rock situation, who's also from the north side of Portland where I'm from. So like, he's incredible. And we are a crazy team, but we also have a choreographer too, Carlos Ortiz, who is from New York by way of Atlanta, who actually has worked with Missy and worked with different other artists like Sierra and people like that. And it's a blessing to even have him part of my team and doing my choreography and stuff. And so I see us as a collective touring the world, traveling, making these moves. For us, it's more so about getting our music out there and getting it to the right people and in the right ears, because all of us have a message and a story. You know what I mean? And so the money and fame comes later, but the biggest thing I want for us is to be able to get out here, put stamps on these passports, you know what I mean, hit these different countries and you know, crazy fan bases and people who genuinely rock with our music because it's genuine music, you know?
I can dig it.
So,
hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. I think the sky's the limit for you. I think that's very, very, you know, possible for you. You know, when we're here and your stories – in your music and just how passionate about everything that you seem to be, you know, it's really awesome, man. I wish great, great things for you. And I only ask that when you do get big and famous and all that stuff, you don't forget the little people here, at Note by Note Radio Show, you know, and, when you get
all big and famous, you
come back. You come back on and show some love for the little people.
Always, man. Here's the thing too. people say it to me a lot, man. I know it's like halfway a joke, but it's also, and for me, it's serious because it's people like you who took the chance and gave me a chance to be on your platform, gave me this platform to share my story and play my music when a lot of other places won't and don't support what I do. So, you know, it means the world to me. So it's going to be nothing to when I'm really, really popping to come back and be like, you know, what's up? Like, let's, you know, another interview or however we do, put together a show or something or come out to Memphis and do something crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just that's who I am, bro. Like, I'll always want to pay it forward, man, and always reach back and pull up the people who supported me and did right by me too. So
I tell you, you know, that's when I got the opportunity to start this show and to do it, you know, and I thought a lot about, you know, why I would do it. Why would I do a show and try to have artists on and talk to them? And it was because, you know, just how I feel about music in general, you know, and I feel that there's so much music that is not heard, not listened to, because it's not in your, you know, it's not playing on your radio, or, you know, people don't listen because it's not mainstream or something like that. And there's so much good music and so many incredible artists out there that aren't heard because, you know, just because they're not mainstream, you know?
Right.
And I think that it's just, I think it's sad. I think it's truly, truly sad that there's so many people out there that are just in that tunnel vision mindset, you know, like, they, you know, if it,
yeah,
they don't need to look for other music or other artists or anything like that. You know, if it's not on the radio, it's not worth your time. You know, that's bullshit, you know? That's all I've wanted to do, man, is just help promote people and help put people's name out there. And, you know, and doing the show is so awesome just because of the research that you do for the show and everything like that, the people that you get to talk to, the stories that you get to hear that you're not going to hear everywhere, you know. So that's, you know, that's why we do this, man. It's for people just like you, man. So.
Nah, I appreciate that too, man, because – I mean, obviously, like, you know, it's basically like you guys, they really keep hip-hop alive. And then, obviously, we know that social media is another platform, too, where songs are really breaking. Like, TikTok, for example, I'm just now getting into TikTok a lot more. You know, with that, you know, we got a guy, my dude Ricky Slay, who was, like, a TikTok phenom who had, like, a million-plus followers, but Paige got banned, and he's, like, restarting a new one and, like, already climbing so crazy. So we have him, you know, in the back end helping us too and, like, building us up. But, you know, we forget that, you know, where this all really originated. You know, the radio stations and the DJs that was breaking records, you know what I mean? And so now you can just go online, upload a song, and it might pop off, it might not on SoundCloud. Or, you know, you go on TikTok and somebody do a challenge, you know what I mean? Then it's lit, you know?
It's lit for that hot second, and you got to figure it out again. you got to find something else. It's a gift and a curse. But I heard you say something, and I want to speak that into the universe for you. So let's go in this direction. If I buy a ticket to one of your shows as a fan, what am I in store for?
Oh, man.
That's a good question.
If I buy a ticket to a Roulette Delgado show, you're going to get authenticity. You're going to get great music. You're going to get me not rapping over my vocals. You're going to get excitement. You're going to get dancing, rapping, and singing. Of course, my team will be rocking with me because everybody is so talented in their unique way. So you're going to get a variety of sounds and music. And you're going to get my story, you know. One thing that I do at my shows is I want people to really understand where I come from, but understand why I'm here. For example, I'll start out my show like this. Like, you know, my mother, you know, she was on drugs and was a prostitute, right? And, you know, she was 3 months pregnant with me working the streets. And she got picked up by this guy in a white van who drove over the I-5 bridge into Vancouver, Washington, and, you know, tried to attack my mother, essentially trying to kill her and murder her. And, you know, she's 3 months pregnant, you know, 100 pounds soaking wet, you know, high on drugs, trying to figure out how I'm going to get this man off of me. And she just prayed and prayed, and somehow she mustered the strength and courage to kick this man who's like twice or three times her size off of her. She broke free of his van and went running through a field. And this couple, this white couple, came out of their house with shotguns, like, what are you doing in our yard? You know, and she's like, this man's trying, he's trying to kill me. Help me, please. They call the police. My grandma comes. The police come, take a report, and they leave, right? And so my mom is, you know, weeks later, she's back on the streets, hustling again and working the streets. And she goes to prison, and she gives birth to me in prison in Salem, Oregon, right? And then come to find out, the guy who tries to kill her was Gary Ridgway, and that's the Green River Killer who murdered several prostitutes from Oregon, Washington, and California. So it's a blessing that I'm even here, that my mom made it through that, because I would have been dead right along with her and not even thought of, right? So I share that story, and I kind of go in chronological order with my songs sometimes, depending on what kind of show it is. If it's like a more intimate R&B-ish kind of show, I'll do my R&B stuff and tell my story. But if it's more rap, I'll tell that story and then kind of get to the turn up so we can have a good time. But, you know, I mean, there's purpose behind everything that I do. So you'll always get something crazy at a Roulette Delgado show.
Okay. I mean, apparently, because we keep – your story gets crazier and crazier as we keep talking to you. You know, like, holy shit, dude. Like it gets –
Hey.
Good Lord.
So now that we know, what kind of performance, if you can perform anywhere, where does that performance happen?
I mean, there's two places, well, three. I mean, my top three will definitely be Madison Square Garden. That's number one. I want to perform in Dubai.
Ah.
And then okay. Paris, France.
Okay.
If you had three wishes, them are three good ones.
Yeah, because I just want to be able to be on the status to where, like, I can book shows in Dubai or Paris, France, and, you know, sell out Madison Square Garden. That's a dream of mine. You know, me and my squad just coming and taking over. Japan, too. You know, but, you know, I mean.
Now, what I'll tell you about that. That is a whole otherworldly experience. I'll tell you that from experience. That's crazy.
I can only imagine, man.
But continue. I just want to throw that too. I just want to throw my two cents in. But go ahead, continue.
No, I was saying I can imagine. Like, I mean, I've only been to Canada outside of the country, and literally that happened because I had a situation where I was dealing with this person, this dude, who had a girlfriend, and he was on the low. And so I'm dealing with him, catching feelings, heart got broke, wrote this song called Dilemma, which is on my last album, Superhuman 2, The Evolution. Wrote this song, and I'm, like, in my bathroom singing it, recording myself, and I posted the song online. And it got shared a bunch of times, and somehow this cat up in Canada named Adala D heard it and to me, like, yo, I heard your song. It's really dope. Like, do you want to do hooks and stuff like that? I'm like, oh, that'd be dope. So he sent me some beats because the producer, and we start going back and forth. And then we built this crazy, like, bond out of nowhere. And I met his family, you know, all obviously via social media and, like, FaceTime and stuff. And then he's like, yo, I got a whole crew up here, man. You should come to Canada, come rock with us. Got my passport. And this is the year after I came out. So I go up there, and I'm there for like a whole month because we just vibed so good. I became family and part of the team. So now I'm in, you know, Kelowna, BC, up in Canada, and I'm making music, part of the squad. And I had to come out to them because they didn't know, like, about my little life in America. So I came out to them, and it was nothing. And I became, like, I started building a fan base there, and me being something they haven't seen before, you know, like, I just came and took it by storm and just started making noise. And so, you know, that was Canada. And I started going to Vancouver, BC, doing stuff there. And, making waves and made a bunch of connections and met a lot of people and fans and stuff. So now the goal is to go to different countries and make moves too.
Hey, Canada alone, that's a blessing. I don't know very many people. I don't, especially independently, that could say they've touched that part of the world yet. So,
right.
I mean, that is not small pickings, you know. That's still something
right.
international. So I just don't want you to
Absolutely.
Downplay that because I know rappers that'll sell everything they got for 10 minutes in Canada. So let's just be real. I'm just saying, like, that's an accomplishment. You got to own that.
Absolutely. I mean, and I very much so look at it like an accomplishment, man, and I'm very proud of being able to go up there, man, several times. And I remember one time I got stopped at the border because I had, like, two big-ass suitcases and three backpacks, and they was like, how long are you going to be here for? I was like, oh, just for a couple of weeks. They went through my phone and saw me telling people I'm going to be here for, like, a month or two, and nah. Stopped me at the border. It was, like, midnight, no buses going back. I slept on the border right outside of the building, right on the border, and the police came and woke me up, like, you can't sleep here, took me to the nearest gas station, like, and I was trying to figure out how to get my paperwork and everything I needed, like, because you got to have, you know, credentials, like, where are you staying at, you know, what is your residence, and are you, they want to make sure you're not trying to, like, illegally immigrate over to Canada, so... Man, I've been through some shit, bro. Like, it was real. I had my team on the line, like, we're going to get you up here, like, crazy.
But now you know. You'll never make that mistake again, see? So now you know how to be.
I got my shit in order fast, and every single day I've been clear as day, way back and forth. It was nothing.
So that was probably one of them good old blessings in disguise. Like, yeah, next time you be prepared. That's how I take it.
Exactly.
So there's no such thing as a loss to me anymore. Everything is I missed something. Somebody trying to teach me something.
Right. Some of the best right. lessons I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. We ain't got my money right, and you know, set my game up, man, and you know, made sure that next time I went, I had everything I needed, you know. And they was impressed. Like, oh, you got everything. I'm like, yeah. What's up? Let's go.
Yeah.
You know, so I was able to set the money up there a few times, and you know. So, it was cool.
Hell yeah.
You want to play song?
Yeah, that's what I was
it.
Just
yeah.
thinking. I think we're
okay.
going to play one. We've got Sunshine and Say Less. What would you like to play right now, Roulette?
I think Sunshine. I think Sunshine because for all the listeners, you know, I do rap and sing, and I really – love showcasing the fact that I can do both of those things, but it's more than just being able to sing too. My songwriting is like, I went through a breakup that was very detrimental. I was in an abusive relationship, actually. And if you see me, you would know that can't nobody can just put their hands on me. But the relationship was more so like an emotionally abusive verbally abusive relationship. Like, they played off my insecurities and stuff, and so I went through this very detrimental time, and then I met somebody new who made me feel like there was actually hope. So the whole point was, this person can be my sunshine during this crazy storm, right? So that's how Sunshine came about.
Hell yeah, man. Awesome. Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. This is Roulette Delgado. That's the second song on Note by Note Radio Show for the night. This song is called Sunshine. Stay right with us. We're going to be right back and continue talking to Roulette Delgado, everybody. Please stay tuned. Here is Sunshine.
Flow. favorite song on the radio. Hey, got me outside my element. I'm so sick, it's evident. Need a dose of your medicine. Hey, I just want you to know that you could be the one. Let's get close and personal. I don't want you to go. Cause I need a bandage to cover the scars on my heart. When dark clouds hit the sky, you can be my sunshine. Your love gives me life. Baby, we can spend some time. I just wanna make you mine. Maybe we can cross that line. Something about your touch, I really can't get enough. And you know I need your love. Oh, you got me feeling some type of way. Stay running through my mind for days. Been a storm since the last one walked away. Hey, I just want you to know that you could be the one. Let's get close in person, no, I don't want you to go. Cause I need a bandage to cover the scars on my heart. When dark clouds hit the sky, you can be my sunshine. Your love gives me life. Close in person, no, I don't want you to go. Cause I need a bandage to cover the scars on my heart. Dark clouds in the sky, you can be my sunshine. Your love gives me life. Baby, when you spend some time, I just wanna make you mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses, and that was Roulette Delgado, everybody. That was Sunshine, and what an absolutely amazing song. It is, it's honestly, it's one of the best, like, love songs I've ever heard. I love that. That was,
wow.
That shit was fire.
Thank you, man.
I mean,
I really appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
And I mean, I'm not just saying this shit. I'm not trying to blow, you know, for lack of a better word, sunshine up your ass. I really fucking mean that, dude. Like, I absolutely love that fucking song. And that was probably the one I listened to the most throughout this last week here, you know, while I was listening to your stuff. So
thank you so much, man. I appreciate that a lot. A lot went into that. Really, that whole album, Superhuman 2, The Evolution, man, it was a process making that album, and just I poured my heart into it. So that means a lot.
And you can really tell, man. And honestly, like, you know, you listen to, you know, Bussin' Back, like we played earlier, and then you listen to Sunshine, and you compare those two songs, and it really just goes to show your level of talent, you know. Going back and forth, just between those two songs, and I haven't heard any of your other music, but I'm definitely going to. But you, just in between those two songs, I mean, you can just hear, you know, how passionate you are, and then you can tell how talented you are. It's just
you know, and your range basically is what I'm trying to get at there. Sorry. You know, what you can do. Like it's absolutely awesome. Just such a natural talent.
Thank you so much, man. That means a lot. It really
absolutely
is. You know, my team pushes me to be better and do better. We all, you know, we all together and we push each other to just be great, man. As a matter of fact, my bro Kanitis just dropped his new single last night, What They Want, and it's a crazy, crazy urban alternative track, which is available on all platforms, you know, Spotify, Apple Music, the whole nine. Amazing song. And Glam Doll just dropped her new single, Birthday, as well on all platforms. So we just, you know, we got a lot coming, man, and just we want to continue to put out great music and bring back the talent. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You know how music takes its course and sometimes it goes into a realm where it's like you can just say whatever you want on the track and it can blow up. We think that's awesome, but we also are like, man, we just want to bring back that level of talent where you really have to listen to the music. And it's not just for the moment. It's timeless, you know?
Got to put the bars over the bullshit, basically.
Absolutely.
That's a good way to put it, Jesse, for real.
I mean, it's a household model. Got a whole brand built on it. Yeah, you got to do that first. That's what we meant. If you ask me what's missing right now, that's what's missing. It's not about the bars no more. You know, it's
right.
Not about your best showing anymore.
Right.
You know, it's about the money show. Not getting to the money is a bad thing, but like you said earlier, Roulette, the money comes. You know, it will come. I've tried to tell motherfuckers the money comes if you don't suck. Like, well, who the fuck am I? Nobody wants to believe who the fuck. Oh, no. Okay, well, I'll just shut the fuck up and continue to get these royalty checks and be a nobody. Fuck you too. Fuck you very much. Like, so, but no, that's really how it is. Like, man, who are you? What was that? How many followers have you got? Motherfucker, I work for a living. I don't care about them.
Right.
I'm sitting in the studio with probably your favorite rapper, fuck boy. Like, never mind.
Right.
Let me shut up. Like, I don't, like, for real, that's how I feel. Like, I work. It's funny because I said that in front of my parents once, and they laughed because it was like, you're starting to sound old. And I was like, no, that's what I feel like. I don't care. I can't care about social media. I'm actually working in the industry. Who gives a fuck about my follows? I don't care. Like, if I put something out and it gets literally 100 plays, cool. Because I still got an industry job in the morning. So why do I care?
Yeah.
Why does it matter?
Right.
Why does it matter? I'm placing songs. Why does it matter? Like, but that's a whole other. I'll stop. Now, Roulette Delgado. Back to you. Because before I take over your interview here.
He'll do it too. He'll do it. I've seen him do it before. No, I'm just kidding.
One thing I want to tell you is you are a really good fucking friend. Very few artists shout out their team like that, like you just did. So you are an outstanding fucking friend.
Oh yeah, he's done it from the beginning too. Like he hasn't, you know. Every time he said something, he's popped them in too. That's awesome.
I love my squad, man. That's the thing is, you know, we talk about this a lot because there's, like I said, I've been on through so many different teams and labels and this and that, and it was always about somebody being in the front or somebody, you know, let's, you know, rally around so-and-so and let's, you know, this and that, which is great, but, like, it doesn't always have to be like, oh, we CEO and then vice president and this and that when all these titles mean nothing because there's not even a business license. Like, cut the shit. Like, let's just keep it real. We're a squad of individuals who all make different music, but we all rock together. These are my sisters and brothers. Like, I love them to death. Like, blood can make us any more family. You know what I mean? So I'm always going to support any opportunity that I have, I'm going to share, you know, within reason. If it's like, you know, okay, we can all go rock this, whatever. But even if it's a show where everybody can't rock, they all show up and support me, whether they got to pay or whatever. That's how we rock because, you know, we want to see each other win. You know what I mean? And so it's just about unity. It's about love, friendship, brotherhood, sisterhood. I mean, that's just how we rock. So When I win, they win. When they win, I win. That's just how it goes.
I can dig it.
Hell yeah. That's a good way to be about things.
I just want to ask you a few artist questions. So, don't worry about this, J Boogie. We're just going to have an artist conversation right now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, okay.
I'll take a break. I'll be back in a few minutes. Y'all just let me know when you're done.
So, being from Portland, what is that? So, as an artist that I've been to Portland, but let's just pretend I've never been to Portland and I want to come, mm-hmm. you know, work. What's that scene like for me?
The Portland hip hop scene it's gotten so much better, right? But it's also very subjective. So you have artists who feel like, you know, the pioneers of Portland rap are haters or whatever. But those same artists don't put no work in, you know.
Wow.
Portland has like a very scratch my back, I scratch yours mentality. I wouldn't say we're like the South where they all help each other and put each other on and on the rise and this and that. But a lot of people, especially like pioneers here, have put in so much work. Of course they're not going to give handouts. Of course they're not going to say, here, let me just cast my platform to you. Now me, I'm different, right? I'm a little different. I'm going to, no matter what I do, I'm always going to show love. I'm always going to put people on if I think they're talented, if I think they're dope and deserve it. That's what I'm going to do. But I can understand why somebody wouldn't want to take all their hard work and just pass it over to the next person who put no work in. I get it, right? So I have nothing but respect for the pioneers here in Portland and people who have done, you know, opened the doors for me, paved the way for me. But the Portland music scene sometimes can be a little divided, somewhat clicky, but the scene here is amazing. It's just an amazing, especially like the actual inner hip hop scene. Like, let's just scratch, you know, music. Let's just say hip hop. The hip hop scene is come to a place where there's always events going on. There's always something to be at. If you're showing your face, you're everywhere. People start to know who you are. You know, the love is going to be shown, right? Me personally, I'm not going to downplay my city or the community, because there's been times where, for example, like I went and got my COVID vaccine, the first one, the Pfizer, and 3 days later, I had Bell's palsy, and the left side of my face was, like, numb and, like, drooping, right? And so the Portland hip-hop scene showed up for me. You know, I couldn't work, so they showed up with food and all these different things while I'm in quarantine, like, really helping me out because I had COVID, too. And so, you know, I'm not going to downplay the heart of the Portland hip-hop scene, but if we're speaking solely on the music and what I've done – a lot of times people don't want to recognize what I've done based on who I am, right? And I see certain awards being given out, certain things like that, and I'm like, my name won't come up. Or people are like, oh, top 10 list this, top 10 list that. You know, my name don't come up. And I know it's subjective, but it's like you cannot deny real talent and what I've done for Portland rap. You see what I'm saying? So, and to some people, it might sound like I'm playing my city right now, but I'm really not. I'm just keeping it real, and it's all I can do, and it's all I can be. So I will say, if a new artist came, you know what I mean?
Like, no, I know what you mean exactly.
Came to Portland, so you've probably been through it.
I'll tell you my version after you finish your thought.
Okay. So let's say a new artist came to Portland, you know, and want to spread their wings and get out there. It's easy to do so because you'll meet a lot of people. You know, like, shout out to my guy Shane Taylor, who he throws events all the time. He puts new artists on his events. You have people who their sole mission is to let new talent come rock and come be a part of things and get their name out there, right? But then you have people who are more so like, nah, if you're not with my squad, then we ain't rocking with you, yada, yada. So it is what it is. But it's just you got to find the right people to be around and to network with and to really build with. But we have a lot of people, DJ OG1, who's a pioneer, who puts a lot of people on. Cool Nuts, who's a pioneer. He's put a lot of people on and shown love to all artists and giving them the platform to get their music out there and stuff. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just about who you know and what you know.
I can dig it. And the reason why I asked that question is because as artists, we get so caught up in the scene we're in. We don't often understand that this is a universal plague when it comes to the hip hop scene. It's just a different flavor to it. But I like to have that conversation because once a lot of us start to see like, oh shoot, they got the same problem in Cali that I got here. Okay. So
right.
It's not as bad as I think it is, you know, and a lot of artists don't understand like, no, we have a lot of mutual issues. Yeah. We deal with the same mutual assholes. They just dress a little bit different.
right,
but we don't talk to each other as artists like that, so we don't really know it. We don't know that we're dealing with the same politics. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the game that has helped me has been when I did get to start touring and get to meet other artists from other states. Like a lot of the stuff I brought home with me was literally stuff from across the country because they were solving different problems in different ways. And I'm just like, oh fuck, I would have never figured that shit out. Like, but
right.
But I had the chance to I guess network for the sake of a corny way of saying it with people and we could trade information and trade skill sets, if you say. So that's what that whole pointed artist question was about, because I think as artists we don't realize that as artists we go through the same shit.
Right.
So the short version of why I understand you completely. So I am an artist that I come home to be nobody. Literally, I'm from San Jose, California. Nobody would give a damn. They don't. I can go to the grocery store right now. Motherfuckers won't even say hi to me. And that's just what it is. But, and it's true. I mean, and so I'm never on any of those lists. But I'm also the most... Look, I've been on 30 city tours. I've toured internationally twice. I've wrote on. I'll just say I can count on more than one hand how many songs that I've written on or had a part in that were Grammy nominated.
Whew,
you see what
go.
I'm saying? So I understand what it means to like only be acknowledged by the people who care enough to know. You know, like
right.
I have certain cosigns that you cannot get, as in I am the only California or non-Chicago member of 606 Entertainment. The only one.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? The only one. The only
yeah.
artist. Okay? They don't even sign people. You see what I'm saying? But it,
right.
So those lists don't, I understand your pain, but I've had to learn those lists don't matter because it doesn't stop me from working. It doesn't stop you from working. It doesn't stop you from doing what you're doing.
Right.
So. You know, but it takes a long time, and it's good that you have adult peer group around you because that's who helped me figure that out. Like my closest friend, Theo. Yeah, I'm calling you out in the world. You're my dog. He asked me a question once. He said, "Would you really want that fan base, or would you really want that respect?" And that changed a lot for me because when you really start to think about it, does the respect of those individuals actually matter in the scheme of it?
Right, not really.
Exactly. And so I understand, but see, that's dope that you brought that up because that's one of those universal things that a lot of us do go through. Like we've accomplished a lot, but we haven't done it in the way that is you're supposed to do it. You know, like you didn't do it like the real niggas say to do it, so you didn't do it. Basically,
right.
So all in all, that's what. So yeah, I think I said what I meant to say when I said it, but you know, because I think I'm saying it again, but you understood me.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. And you know, congratulations on all your success, bro. That's amazing, man. Like that stuff, a lot of people can't say they've done, and I know it takes a lot of hard work to get there. So congrats on all that, bro.
I appreciate you.
Round of applause.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good job, Jesse.
Hey, I do what I can do when I can do it, but it's usually only on Thursdays. Took y'all a minute. But I'm saying
that's
like,
that special day of the week, Thursday.
Yeah, I'm just saying you can at some point, and I wish more people got this, especially in the hip hop community. At some point, run your race, like run your fucking race. If you just run your race, I think that's the biggest, not the biggest. I'll say that's one of the biggest problems in our community. We're so worried about what everyone else is doing and why they're doing it and trying to judge them for, you know.
Right.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say, now as you say that too, that's the point that I always make is like sometimes Portland can be like a rat race and everybody's fighting for this imaginary piece of cheese, right? And so I've had to like withdraw myself from that and just do my own thing. And so when it comes to all those things that people are saying, the top 10 list and all that stuff, I'm like, I have to unconcern myself with it because at the end of the day, I'm paving my own way now. So now I'm running my own race. And that, and when you said that, it made me think of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's where the work is done at, to be honest. Like I keep saying, like, I'm a fan of creatives. I'm a fan of rappers. Like,
right.
I'm a fan of hip hop before I'm an artist. Like, so, and you could ask, I'm the kind of guy that will just, if I'm a fan of you, I would just pop up at your show just to be there. That's
right.
That's because that's just me. I mean, and I'll say like this. I used to do that so often. People used to start asking me, do you live here? Like, no, I came for the show, bro. Like, no, for real. I used to get that like, bro, do you live here? Did you move here? No, I could do it. So I did it. I came to the show. You know, I can't say I've got that in return, but that's just, but I'm not tripping on that. It's just how much of a fan that I am because, I mean, that's what hip hop is to me. Like the iron sharpening iron of it is what hip hop is to me. You know, like just the guys that we could sit around and just literally just spit bars and it just be that, you know, I miss that, you know, because that's what we used to do. Just it didn't even have to be dope. It just had to be bars. You know? Just
right.
But you know what I'm saying? You get better. I know guys that are literally scared to freestyle in front of anybody. Like, no,
right.
I don't do that. You know, and to the point where, we can get you there though. We can get you there. You got to see my co-host right now, but we can get you there. But I'm just saying, like, so for me, any type of lyricism is going to get my approval. And that's saying a lot because I'm a picky ass listener. Right? So, but also, I think it's needed because a lot of the times, like, we don't realize that our peer group isn't the people we see every day.
Right.
You know, I mean, and that's one thing, you know, one of my mentors told me, your peers probably don't even live here. You know, the people that you're really going to work with. So you need to stop looking for local love, because part of it is these people aren't your peers. They can't be. Look at what you're doing. Look what they're doing. Look what you talk about. Look what they talk about. So I just say that as an artist, your fishbowl is a lot bigger than the bowl. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? So.
That's real.
Yeah, so I appreciate you being candid about your scene, you know, because I know a lot of people be scared to say certain things because they don't want to start riff within their scenes. But I think more of us need to hear that we deal with the same politics, because California is not an easy place. I try to warn cats all the time. This is the last place you want to compete. Like, we eat ourselves here. So, how many people do you see move to Hollywood and actually make it? Very many. Like, there's, because we eat ourselves here. Like, this is one of the roughest markets to make it, even though it's sold that it's a place of opportunity. Nah. And I think a lot of other places, you know, they have the same problem, but we just don't talk about it.
Yeah, true.
It become about everything but the music.
Right.
Now, speaking of music, can we play Say Less?
Yeah, we can. We I've got it queued up here.
Since we talking about music and we talking about dope music, let's play some dope shit. You know what I mean? Like,
that's right. Hell yeah, we got that. We'll put that on right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is Say Less. please stay tuned with us. We'll be right back, and we'll wrap up the show with Roulette Delgado, which is probably one of the best shows that me and Jesse have done together so far. I'd say this is an absolutely incredible show.
It's been an experience, yeah. Complete
honor.
Absolutely, man. What an amazing story that you've shared with us today, man. I'm extremely grateful for your time today. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about 3 minutes here. This is Say Less, Roulette Delgado, everybody. Look them up. Check
bars.
Them out. Here it is.
Bars, people. Bars.
Yeah. It's been a blessing to be alive this long. And I want to share my story. Listen.
All I want to do is stay blessed.
Got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on the conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, say less.
All I wanna do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on the conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, and say less. 1986, a young king was born. Product of a dope fiend and a woman scorned. It used to be teardrops and dark thunderstorms. Now I'm the hottest in my lane, hate to do my horn. Foster kid on a mission to find a better route.
Better run
a deal, get a meal and buy my mama a house. She died before I could blow and that shit stresses me out. She up in heaven pulling strings and she blessing me down. My own family speaking on me, all the disrespect. So full of hatred and jealousy, there's a disconnect. I went from being nobody to being in the press. On my way from commercial to flying private jets.
Let's go. All I wanna do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on the conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, say less.
All I wanna do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on the conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, and say early 90s, crack era destroyed my family. Now we full of dysfunction, so much insanity. I was a young and my grandpa took all my innocence. Was touching me instead of just teaching me what a man should be. Now I'm grown and battle these insecurities. The self-hatred, the flaws, and these impurities. Homophobia poking at my maturity. When they say in case of disease, but ain't no curing me. The same folks that created the COVID vaccine are the same folks that created the dope and crack fiend. Don't take a rocket scientist to know what that means. On my knees wishing this was all a bad dream.
All I wanna do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on the conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, say less.
All I wanna do is stay blessed.
I got a lot of shit to get off my chest. My life is a movie, I've been on the conquest. So I gotta be more, do more, say less.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Note by Note Radio Show. It is I, your host, the guy in glasses. We are continuing our conversation with Roulette Delgado, and that's
just
his
is here too.
Less. Well, I was getting to that, man.
I'm here too.
You act like I never say your name or something.
I'm just being an asshole right now, bro. I ain't even lying. I did that on purpose. That's why I moved off camera, because I was trying to. Because I didn't want you to see me smiling and shit. So.
Yeah, you act like I never promote you. I never put you out there. Something
like
that.
Like
you
I
know,
said, I'm
never...
just being an asshole. That's why I went all the way off camera, because I couldn't keep a straight face.
Dickhead. Oh shit!
Don't mind us. Okay. We just work here. Don't mind us. Yeah. We just work here.
Right. Mr. Roulette Delgado, I do appreciate you putting up with our bullshit in the studio tonight.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah.
You gotta have fun. You gotta have fun no matter what you're doing. Whether you're at your job, whether you're on your podcast doing your favorite little hobby, whatever. You know. It's you gotta have fun while you're doing it. So,
actually, I got another Portland question for you. What's your favorite venue to perform at out there?
I mean, so because I perform at a lot of places here, my favorite one, hands down, had to be Motor Center, because I mean, there was nothing like that. I mean, that was, you know, but my favorite venue just to perform at where I can get in, or a lot of artists perform at all the time, probably would be this place called Morrison Market.
Okay. Tell me about it, please.
So it's a really dope stage. It's a very high stage. The lighting's crazy, crazy light shows. There's these different venues or different, like, little restaurants inside where you can get food and stuff like that. Sometimes vendors come and set up clothing and stuff like that. And, I mean, it's just a great – it's a great experience. It's a really nice place. So I'd definitely say Morrison Market is probably my favorite venue to perform at.
Okay, okay, okay. I'm gonna put that on the list. I mean, that's why I asked. That was a selfish question, but hey.
I'm gonna steal one of Jesse's. I'm gonna steal one of Jesse's questions because this is one of the questions that Jesse usually asks. But I'm gonna go ahead and ask it.
You got it.
Okay.
What is your favorite song to perform?
Good one.
There's two, but most recently, my favorite song to perform is Bustin' Back because my dancers come and we, if you see the video, you understand, but like my dancers come and we perform the whole thing and I'm dancing with them and we getting live. And so, there's also, yeah, this one, I did a mixtape track to The Game's El Chapo, and I opened my shows with it because I just completely gassed, like, bars, gassed my fast flip. That's one thing that I'm known for here with my fast flip. So I opened my show with that, and I completely gassed, so I love doing that. But definitely Bustin' Back is probably my favorite one to perform now.
Okay, and I'm going to say this because that was a setup question, and I'm going to tell you why. Because every artist that we've ever asked, what is your favorite song?
That's why I didn't ask. That's why I didn't ask.
What's your favorite song is, it's always a song that they didn't send us to play on air. And I'm always like, well, why didn't you give us that one if that was your favorite? So you were the first right. one to actually say one of the songs that you sent us, you know?
Right.
Like if that's your favorite shit, you know, like I assume people don't do that, I guess, because they try to stay humble, not toot their own horn. But you know, to me, it's like if that's your favorite shit, I want to hear it. Like let's play that, you know. So, you are the very first one to actually to actually say one of the songs that you sent us. So that was a setup question. That was a setup.
Okay, that's now since that one worked, we'll try this one. since he's been on a roll and he's just the grand champion today, these are questions that we'd be scared to ask people because we don't want to put them on the spot. But
right,
out of all the bars you've written, what are your favorite ones? Like just one bar, two bars, four, you know, four bars, 16. What is the, in your opinion, out of all the bars you've ever written, what is the dopest ones?
Ooh, the dopest ones.
And can
Ooh.
You tell them to me?
Yeah. Let me see. Cause man, there's been some ones, but let me think real quick. Let me see. Okay.
You made him think
okay.
on this one, Jesse.
So,
you made him think yeah. on this one.
Yeah, it's been a few, but
at least he's thinking. Most people are stuck.
it was how you talking down on somebody that's the winner. I'm a fucking veteran, knocking over beginners. Get my fork and knife and I eat these niggas for dinner. And really, they some fillers and only making me thinner. And it was like a couple bars right there.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Okay.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we need. Because, hey, usually that question don't even get answered. So.
Yeah. Usually they can't come up with anything and we have a little laugh
right,
about it
right.
and we just move
I'm
on.
I'm usually like, okay, well, here's the bars that I wrote down of your song that I like. I used to do that. Like, here's the bars. Like, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. My bad. Like. So here's some bars that you wrote that I thought were dope. So I'm just saying, I'm not going to rap them to you. I'm just going to tell them to you, and you just, you know, you kind of let me know if I'm on the right road or not.
Right.
That's funny. Hey, I appreciate that. Like, he has really been through the gauntlet, and he is, like, he has, you know, stepped up to every challenge.
Man, life has been a challenge, bro. I'm ready for any and everything, bro. Like,
I ain't mad at it. Yes, true indeed.
Okay, I'm just waiting on my shot, man.
Me and Jesse were talking when we played Sunshine earlier, and we were in the little, you know, what we call our green room, chit-chatting for a second there, and we were just talking about just how articulate you are, you know, and you know, it's not just kind of, you know, just short answer, you know, stuff, you know, there's, you know, just articulation, you know, in your answers, you know, when you reply and stuff like that, you know, it's not just a da-da-da done thing, you know, there's always that little bit more behind it, you know, so it's really made.
Well, that's what we'll say. It's very helpful.
It's really made for a more deep and impactful show, I think, and a more impactful interview.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
So I can be long-winded sometimes, but like I have so much to say, man. I've been through so much, and I always want to answer each question to the best of my ability because, you know, I want to be completely honest and transparent. So,
but that's for the
man.
Best,
I wish there was more time on the show, honestly, you know, because we just keep going, man. I mean, we've only got about 8 minutes left here on the show, but you know, I mean, I would imagine that we could probably have a 3-4 hour show with you, man. Asking you questions and hearing your story and stuff, man. Like, so.
No, we could always bring him back. Absolutely. Bring him back.
Oh yeah, I mean, and then before, you know, like I said, we've only got about 8 minutes left. So before we go, what is it that maybe you're working on right now, or something that you and your crew are working on? What's up and coming? You know, you know, for you, or you and your crew. You know, what's coming up next?
So again, you know, my bro Kanita just dropped his single "What They Want." Glam Dog just dropped "Birthday." My bro Just Wild just dropped his recent single "Silent," which touches on mental health and battling depression and stuff like that. For me, I am getting ready to drop my new single, "The Mayor," and the video, which I shot out in New York and in Portland. I happened to be out there because myself and Glam Doll both walked fashion shows for New York Fashion Week, one for a plus-size designer and one for a regular designer. And so I'm a plus-size model as well. So we were out there doing that. The whole team came out there, shot the video. And then I got another video coming out with my guy Caleb Wildcard called "Right Now." So that's coming out in November as well, or December. And then my single, "The Mayor," comes out in November. We're just going to keep pushing, man, keep grinding and striving. Next year we plan to just do more. The more things open up, the better. It's funny you're talking about people moving to, like, Hollywood and trying to make it, because we're actually all moving to L.A. to go pursue, man. We got some plugs and connections out there, and I think it's the time
for us
to get out of here.
Well, at least you're coming with connections, though. At least you're coming with something.
Yeah, man.
Because if you were just like, "I'm just moving," I'd be like, "Hey, it's a damn shame what happened to Roulette Delgado." Hey, for real,
hell no.
That's exactly what we think. No, it's a damn shame what happened to Roulette when he got out here. I mean, I wish I would have told him. That's really how I feel. But like, I'm just moving. Like, I don't got a deal. I don't got nothing. No, I'm just moving to L.A. Like, oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I'm not a foundation. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we taking the chance, man. We're going to do it. But working on new music. Actually, myself, Glam Doll, and my bro Just Wild, we have a song called "Flight." That video is going to be crazy. The goal is always to make each video better than the one before. And so with "Flights," we're going to be defying gravity, scaling the size of buildings, and doing choreography on the side of a building on some Missy Elliott shit. Like, that's what, like, we're really trying to step it up. So, you know, that's the vision right now. And just continuing to be better, man, and do better, keep our mental health in check, and just grow together as a team, you know?
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. Well, I just want to say, you know, from me and Jesse here on Note by Note, and, you know, from everybody at the Wicked Curiosity Media family here, just want to say thank you for your time. Your story is one of many, many trials and tribulations. And obviously, you've overcome them and continued to be you and do what you do. And it's a story of power and courage, really, you know, and strength.
Thank you, man.
And it was absolutely amazing to talk to you today. And I thank you so much. I mean, we got a lot of guys that come on, you know, and they give us, you know, 45 minutes, you know, an hour or something like that, you know, but you've stayed on, you know, the whole time with us here. And I know time is money to any artist. So thank you so much for your time today, man. It really, really means a lot to us.
Absolutely, man. Good. Thank you for having me. And one more shout out, man. Shout out to my executive producer, Deborah Howard, who in Studio 21 Productions, who really played a huge part in my growth this year as an artist. And helping me and get out there. And shout out to Quail Drake too, man, for plugging me, man. This is great.
And I tell you, you know, Cordell does a lot for this show. And ever since I had him on as an interviewee, he's just come back with more and more people. And you know, it's really been incredible. And I've got to talk and I mean, not necessarily meet, but you know, talk to, you know, just an amazing amount of people over the course of the last, you know, year and a half. And it's just been amazing. So.
That's what's up, man. I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you again. Look forward to sitting down with you guys again and when new things come around. So
absolutely, man. Yeah, please keep us informed. You know, if you got new stuff, you know, whatever, you know, hit us up. Let us know. You know, we'd love to have you come back on and talk some more sometime. You know, even if we have you on, you know, for a few minutes just to talk about something real quick, you know, just something that you want to plug out on the air. You know, that's totally awesome, man. You call in anytime, and you know, you are more than welcome, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, bro. Thanks for having me.
All right, you have a great night and a great weekend, my friend, and look forward to hearing from you soon.
Yeah, but you guys as well.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
All right, peace.
Well, Jesse, we've got about 2 minutes here. You want to say your goodbyes to everybody for the weekend.
Bye, everybody. Have a good weekend.
So fucking lame.
Hey, but lame is in. I'm trying to win. I've been a cool person. Cool guys don't win no more. The nerds run the world. I'm trying to be nerdy. Okay? Like the nerds make everything, the cool guys buy and use. So I'm gonna be on that team
okay.
Now.
Okay,
so
I got you.
You guys have a great weekend. Be safe. Please put the bars before the bullshit and everything, not just music. You know, quality over the quantity, please. And, love yourself.
I love that's become your goodbye tagline there, you know.
Please.
I really do. I love it. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for going on this journey with us tonight. What an incredible story we got to hear from Roulette Delgado. If you haven't already, please go find him on Facebook and stuff. Follow his social medias and continue to follow what he's doing with his career and his life and everything, because it is absolutely an amazing story, an amazing thing to see. And it's just going to continue to get better. So please show him some love, everything like that. Man, you know, if he's got some merch, hell, I'm going to probably hit him up and get, you know, buy some, you know, got some, show some love, man, for real, honestly. But we got 10 seconds here. So ladies and gentlemen, please, as always, keep your hearts open and your radios up. Good night. Have a great weekend, ladies and gentlemen.